Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to Speak. I'm Joy Taylor. I was on vacation last week. Emmanuel Acho is on vacation this week. I'm here with Rick Bucher, Fox NFL analyst TJ Hushmanzada, and Eagles all-time leading rusher Shady McCoy.
Right, that's right.
Happy to be back with you guys.
You back? Are you happy?
I am back. I had a nice trip.
She didn't say yes.
She didn't answer that.
She
happy.
Didn't say yes.
But, no, I miss you guys. I miss you guys. All right, well, let's get started with running backs. Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs did not get long-term deals by last week's deadline over the weekend. Austin Eckler organized a Zoom call with some of the top running backs in the game to discuss the current financial market for their position, but reports say no major plans emerged from the meeting. As you can see, seven of the top running backs from last season were at the meeting. So we are lucky enough to have Shady McCoy at the desk. What is your reaction to the running back meeting?
I love the meeting, though. I truly do love the meeting. I think it's trying to make more people aware of what's going on. And if people are not aware with the doing to the running back, I think position as far as the marketing with the money and the market. But the problem I have with the whole thing is we need something more than just running backs because we're at the polls. We're the lowest. Right? They don't want to pay us no real money. So it's going to take guys like the quarterbacks. When we're up for a contract with the NFLPA, when we're talking about things that we want in a bargaining agreement, that has to be one of them. Like, how do we make it equal where all the players on the teams are getting equal value contracts, if they're worth it, if they deserve it? A guy like Saquon Barkley, a guy like Josh Jacobs, led the league in rushing last year, shouldn't be trying to fight for a contract, a fair contract. We may fight for more money, but to get a fair contract, he deserves that. And I love the meeting that they had. I just don't see no true value to the meeting because if we don't have other positions, like a quarterback who, when he speaks, it speaks volumes. Okay, he wants this, he wants that. Look at the money that they're getting. That's for a reason. So we get quarterbacks in there to speak up, hey, you know, Patrick Mahomes, we won a championship, but our running back had a lot to do with that. They need paid a certain amount of money. So until that happens, I mean, we'll just have Zoom meetings and we'll all be complaining, like myself complaining about the running back should be getting paid.
Hmm. TJ?
I mean, for me, it's quarterbacks, they can speak.
They can speak.
What is it going to do? I mean, you're talking about, you do need the Pat, the Joes, the Josh, the Lamars,
yes,
the Jalen's, the Trevors. You need those guys, Justin Herbert's of the world, to have your back. The CBA does not expire till 2030.
That's the issue.
Do all the speaking you want. Have my back all you want. Nothing is going to change. And so this has happened before. When I was playing, the center wasn't valued at all. Mm. The center was replaceable. Centers get paid now.
That's right.
The interior lineman, even the guard didn't get paid. Safeties weren't getting paid when I... Now, these dudes are valued. So it's peaks and valleys with this. I would say 3-4 years... And maybe it's the running back class of this year, the Bijan Robinsons, Jahmyr Gibbs. They are the group that changes this. The meeting was more so just, I guess, seeing how everybody was doing. It's not going to change one thing. These guys are going to still be in this position. And for them, it sucks because when you are, the running back gets the ball more than anybody on the team.
That's right.
So for them to be in this situation, it boggles my mind. But the meeting, I don't know why they had it.
It's a start. It's a start. Now, if it's the end, then it's just a gripe session. But, and if it's just the top guys, then it's just a gripe session. Who, by the way, probably...
It gotta be the top guys, right? Why you want a lower tier guy? What are you gonna do?
Well, you need leverage, because if the top guys are the only ones who are complaining, the teams are gonna do what they've done, which is next man up. Like, we'll just get a guy who... and move him in. It has to be a concerted, all of the running backs coming together and saying that the position is devalued. Now, chances of that happening are very limited. Everybody is together until it comes down to, yeah, but I gotta protect my own, right? I mean, it's competitive. But if they're going to change the way running backs are looked at and paid in the NFL, then everybody has to come together and make that happen. So, the top guys need to start that. They need to be the leaders in it. But unless they do that, then there's not going to be any change. So that's my whole issue from the very beginning when we saw that Josh Jacobs didn't get paid, right? And Saquon Barkley didn't get paid, is that the only guys complaining were other running backs. But if the running back is as meaningful, Joy, to the team and to an offense,
it is,
as everybody says,
it is,
then shouldn't the quarterbacks be speaking up on behalf of their guys?
I mean, as you said, it's a start. It has to start somewhere. So hopefully that's what this meeting was a start of the conversation and not just a one-off getting together, complaining about what's happened. Mm. I do think it is a start. The unfortunate thing is CBA is a while out from being renegotiated.
Yeah.
Where I get conflicted with the running back position is it sort of swings on a pendulum. You'll have a couple guys get paid really, really, really great money, and then someone will inevitably get injured. It'll tie the team up, and so it'll swing back the other way where the running backs don't matter. They're not really a part of the offense. Okay, we're passing all the time, and then none of the passing teams can get far enough in the playoffs. The running back position is essential to a productive offense, unless you have a guy named Patrick Mahomes. If you don't have Patrick Mahomes, meaning you're every other team in the NFL, you have to have a solid run game. The statistics support that. What did Mike McCarthy come out and say after whatever happened with the Cowboys?
Run that ball.
I run the ball. You have to run the ball. It balances the offense. It keeps the defense honest. It gives your quarterback a rest. It's essential to a functioning offense. So the problem that running backs are running into is, do you pay someone for previous production or for future production?
There's a little bit of both. Well, every position.
Sure. But the problem is people are petrified of paying for future production with a running back and not getting it. But that's where, to me, there has to be a give and take.
See, but this is my issue with that, because, like, I can name you players that hit the market, right, at other positions, that get all this money, and then they don't always pan out, or they might have injuries. But they don't set back their positions, right? I can name a lot of wide receivers that this happens to.
Yeah.
Even dudes like Daniel Jones. Like, he had one good year, and it was...
When was that?
This year, last year.
That was good?
I mean, it was
when
good.
When Saquon Barkley played well, he played well.
But what I'm saying is that, like, he just did okay, right? He played okay, right. And y'all pay him all this money, and y'all won't play the best player on the team with a running back. So the issue is not just, like, the position at hand, right? We see this all the time in the league where guys get paid and they don't produce, or they may get injured, or they don't be that good. Then they have a good year and they get paid. So I'm just trying to figure out the issue with the running backs. Maybe I was thinking, like, well, maybe it happened because so many low drafted players at the running back market bought out, you know, and like, okay, well, dang, we can use three running backs to do one job and pay them smaller. Because I was trying to figure out, like, when did the market really start, becoming so small in the grand scheme of things. And I was thinking maybe it was because of that, because of some backs that got busy, right?
In lower rounds.
So I don't have to draft this guy top five, top 10, because I get the same production from a guy that's in the sixth round. Like Eckler.
The biggest thing is this. It's really a case-by-case study. When you look at Saquon Barkley, he was the offense.
Yes, he was.
You look at Jonathan Taylor, minus last year because he was in
the whole offense.
He's the offense. You look at Joe Mixon. He has a lot of help. And so each team and each running back situation is different. Josh Jacobs was the offense with Devontae. And so each case is different to where some guys really, really, they have a point. Like the Saquon Barkley situation
boggles
my mind.
Yeah.
Because he is the New York Giants offense. When he's on the field, they play well. When he isn't, they don't. It's Derrick Henry. He's the Titans offense. So these guys have a point. But when you start going down the line, it's a collaborative thing. It's the quarterback. It's the offensive line. Like, Pat Mahomes may feel a certain way, but Pat Mahomes ain't worried about the running backs. He worried about Chris Jones getting in the camp.
Right.
He ain't worried about these running backs. I need to get Chris Jones in camp.
Yeah.
But I also think that we've seen, and not just with Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of winning a Super Bowl without a running game. I mean, didn't we see the Rams essentially get that done? Yeah. We've seen top teams pay guys, and I'm just looking at the last 10 years where it's gone. In 2013, Adrian Peterson was top in cash that year.
He killed it, yeah.
Made $11.5 million. Mm-hmm. And then over the next 5 years, it jumped up to the point where Todd Gurley in 2018 made $21 million, 21.9. Right. And since then, well, then McCaffrey in 2020 made over 22. But then it started to come back down. And I think we hit this point where we saw, and I think the rules have benefited it. The rules have benefited the passing game. And so teams are able to live off of that a little bit more than the run game. And I would even argue that one of the issues is the rules have shifted to protect wide receivers. They've shifted to protect every skill position. More so than the running back. The running back is the one. What rules have changed? Rules have changed to protect quarterbacks. Rules have changed to protect wide receivers. Running backs?
It's almost impossible.
You can still do whatever you want to them, right?
We're in there. Yeah, we're in the mix.
Right?
Well, I guess you can't lower. Well, that's against us. We can't lower our heads to run them over.
But how many times is that called in close as opposed to out in the secondary? Right?
When you're looking at even last year, like the Chiefs didn't have the best running game, right? Mm-hmm. So we're using that as an example of, okay, well, you don't need a running game. Again, I would argue that Andy Reid kind of makes up for not having a top running back, and Patrick Mahomes himself and Travis Kelce, and they're able to do a lot of creative things mm-hmm. while not running the ball as much as other teams. But when you get into the postseason and you get up against other great competition, and it's on the line, and you need a running game to be able to pull off some of these things that you have in your playbook that you can't just call the same thing and you have to improvise. Right. Not having a run game hurts you. Yes, the Chiefs were 25th in rushing attempts last season. The Rams missed the playoffs. The Jets were 27th. We're just going to go down the list. Missed the playoffs. Vikings lost a wild card. Chargers lost a wild card. Texans missed the playoffs. Dolphins lost a wild card. Pattern here. Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost in the wild card. If you want to move forward in the postseason, you have to have not just a run game, probably a star, probably someone that you can give the ball to and you know they're going to get busy.
I agree with all of that, but it's a matter of what price am I going to pay for it?
So what I really think will have to happen is a couple of these teams will have to get burned. They'll have to lose their guy and try to replace them with someone else, a lower pick or someone put together a running back by committee, and it doesn't work.
Shady made a good point is, will I pay for previous production or what I expect in the future? Running back's only position where you get 2,000 yards. You know what they're going to say?
You're worn out.
Oh, man, he got the ball so many
times. We gave him the ball so many times. We saw the best of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the best we're going to get.
Yeah.
But if I'm a receiver and I get 1,800 yards, you know what they're going to say the next year? Well, you probably at least get 1,700.
Right.
And so that's the dilemma that they're in. But the special ones, they deserve to get it. Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, they deserve to get what they deserve because they've earned it.
But they always try to fight the running backs. Like, even Derrick Henry, when he was up for a deal, I'm like, there's no way they're going to joke and play with him, right? Because, you know, they teams, they do that. They try to save all the money they can save. But I'm thinking, like, okay, there's not a more all the running backs that is more consistent like Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Through injuries, through production. It's like he should get his money.
They rely on him.
Yeah, so I like certain players, it should be no argument. Chubbs, you know, Saquon Barkley, even Josh Jacobs. He's another one. Like, yo, he's been productive every year playing, and he just got a rushing title, which is hard to do.
That's the Raiders.
Why he don't get money?
They should have picked up his fifth year option.
They didn't even give him an offer. I seen him probably like, 2-3 weeks ago, and we were talking. They didn't even give him an offer. I'm like, how do you not offer this guy? It don't even make sense. So I just don't – I'm trying to wrap my mind around this whole running back situation. I don't see how it gets better no time soon because the deal's not up till 2030.
You were in this position of being a running back. How would you handle it if you're Saquon or Josh Jacobs? How would you approach it?
That's hard, man, because, like, one thing I thought they should have did earlier is make chaos, right?
Right.
Too quiet about it.
Right.
We'll get a deal done. Nah, this is your money you're talking about. There's no friendship. There's no homeboys. There's no – the owner's my guy. Nah, go on there. I need my money. Other players, they go on there from the get-go. Soon as the season's over, taking all the pictures. That's a new thing. Take all the pictures down on Instagram.
We're in a breakup.
Yeah. You got to do it now, because if not, now it's too late. Only time we ever seen the conversation about Saquon or Josh Jacobs, if it was reported, there's still not a deal done. And then Saquon might, you know, tweet something or Josh might tweet. But there hasn't been no real action. Yo, I'm pissed off. I'm not happy. All right, listen. I need the world to know.
Hopefully this meeting is the start of that. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers had a highlight reel pass to Garrett Wilson that has the internet all excited. Will they be the best duo in the league? That's next on Speak. And don't forget, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports channel on Sirius XM.
Oh, the best? Hold on. You said the best?
The best.
Greetings, soccer fans. Are you ready for the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup? Because we are. That's right. Australia and New Zealand, look out. State of the Union is coming.
Off the post and in!
And we'll be going above and beyond down under. We'll have new podcast episodes every single match day. So follow Alexi Lawless's State of the Union on the Fox app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, folks. It's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List. Your go-to home services. Marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you. It's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area, so you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
The Jets were rewarded with four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers this offseason. I'm sorry, I'm getting back from vacation. All right, y'all quit playing. And he's already building chemistry with wide receiver Garrett Wilson. They connected on this highlight reel touchdown pass, prompting Rodgers' former teammate Devontae Adams to post these two about to act up this year, just like we are acting up in the breaks.
Yep.
Shady, you expect Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson to be the best duo this
season? Absolutely not.
Oh.
Yeah, nah. But they will give out crazy work, though. I think that two together, A-Rod's going to teach him some different things, like the back shoulder. That was Devontae Adams' specialty right there. He routes you up all day. Then here and there, hits you with an easy back shoulder. Boom, 10, 15 yards, right? You know that best than anybody. So I do think that they'll do well. I'm not sure if I'll say the best duo. I mean, it's a lot of guys out there. It's guys in Buffalo, guys in Cincinnati that might think different. But they will have a good year.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Best duo?
I might be surprised. Ooh. I might be surprised. I appreciate that Devontae is, you know, showing his old teammate some love. But, I mean, that's a big jump. Even within the own division, that's a big jump. Better than Josh Allen, better than Tua and Tyreek.
Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs been the best duo since they got together. Yeah, you're right.
Burrow.
This is Jets hype. I mean, this is New York hype. Can we slow down?
No, it's like, the train.
They'll be up there.
They will be up there, though.
If I'm Jason McIntyre, I'm like, absolutely they're going to be the best. But if I'm being realistic, they'll be somewhere between 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yep.
I mean, you got to look at...
Nah, they're going to do better than 10, though.
You got to look at these quarterback receivers that have been together. Diggs and Allen have been together.
Yeah.
Burrow.
Hurts and A.J. Brown.
They've been...
That's three.
Hey.
It's going to get slower, slimmer,
boy,
and slimmer.
Kirk Cousins and Jets.
Four. You got one more five. You got one more with the Dolphins.
It don't even matter who's throwing the ball to Devontae. He going to get it done. It don't even matter.
But Wilson was pretty good last year, and he
Garrett Wilson is nice.
Did not have
Jackson OBJ.
Garrett Wilson is nice.
Jackson OBJ. No?
No.
Okay. But there's a lot of competition.
Amari Cooper.
Here's the other part.
Deshaun, he got to show me again. That last year was.
What about Zach and CeeDee?
That's not a bad one.
Trevor Lawrence, Calvin Ridley.
That's a great one, too. But we got to see him play. I'm not big on Trevor like that.
This is the other thing we got to consider is when it comes to Aaron. Like, even with Devontae wasn't his top receiver until his fourth year. Now, he had Jordy Nelson there. He had James Jones there. He had Randall Cobb there. Right. But this is what we know about Aaron. Aaron likes to spread it around. And Aaron likes to take care of the guys that he's been with. So Lazard is there. Randall's there. Like, it's not that they're not going to be a great combination, but I don't know that they're going to get as much as, like, Cousins and Jefferson. Like, you know Jefferson's going to get all the ball the first time,
but,
right?
But I think the difference is to Devontae, when he was young like that, I don't think he was the best wide receiver on the field.
Understood.
Right, he was still young.
Understood.
Where Garrett Wilson is the best receiver on the team, like, right, hands down.
I'm not saying that he's not going to get the both balls, but in comparison to some of those other combos, I don't know.
I don't know. I just think that they'll definitely be, in my opinion, top six.
The only thing that gives me pause about this is Aaron Rodgers himself, because we know, just like you brought up, he is not really into, like, second, third chances. He's all about trust and efficiency.
Yep, trust
and,
for sure.
And we saw that early last year. Now, obviously, Wilson is better, but if for some reason they're not on the same page, like, I don't know, maybe the offensive line is still around where it was ranked last year and isn't much better. He doesn't have as much time as he usually needs. He's not somebody who throws interceptions, so he really likes things to be
buttoned up
like this. So if it's not for any reason, I could see that's really what I'm holding back and pausing to see with the Jets is everything looks good on paper. It's really good. Like, you know what? He's just check, 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 check. No red flags whatsoever. But I just need to see it. You know, I just need to see them walk the walk, because Aaron has showed us before that if they're not on the same page, he's going to go back to Old Faithful.
Only thing is, I think Garrett Wilson's in a different category than them other guys he had last year.
Yeah, for sure.
He is.
And I think he's more developed earlier, right? He's offensive rookie of the year with Zach Wilson as quarterback. That should tell you something. And another thing I think with Garrett Wilson is you can give him easy, simplified routes just to get the ball in his hand, right? Mm-hmm. And he can do the rest because his yards after the catch is amazing. He gets busy when that ball's in his hand.
It's not so much about Garrett Wilson also. Like, Aaron Rodgers was unhappy. He didn't want to be in Green Bay last year. He was unhappy. And so when you watch him now,
his energy,
it's just a different Aaron Rodgers. So we can point to last year and say, oh, Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, they would make a mistake and he would move off of it.
Yeah.
He didn't really care. At least that's how he presented it. He seems like it matters to him this year. And that's why he's going to make sure they're on the same page. It ain't going to be, it's going to work because he wants it to work.
And we've never known Aaron not to be moody or anything like that. Or like, come on, man.
It's a new situation. When you're in a new situation, we on our best behavior for a while.
You know what? And you know what we're doing? We're taking one pass in a no pads training camp.
That's all we got. You know, we do this every year.
And we're extrapolating from that.
I mean, what are you saying? It's like, come on. They're not just going to let him walk into the end zone every single game?
Yeah. And I'm saying, we slow down just a little bit.
Wait, can I ask you this, though, Slate?
Yeah.
So how would you grade Garrett Wilson as a wide receiver?
He has the potential to be one of the best. I think he has potential to be top five this year, especially given with Aaron Rodgers.
Come on, man.
But, like, there's a lot of competition. Like, we got what did they give to Trevor Lawrence? Like, we got a lot of Garoppolo with Devontae Adams. Like, we have a lot of nice quarterback wide receiver combos that are coming in. Wow. Rodgers and Wilson are not the only new duo coming in, but we're not talking about any of those. Right. We're just going to talk about Rodgers and Wilson because we got what? We got one clip.
Because they are the best. I think they're the best newcomers as far as new
combos
between the quarterback and the wide receiver.
Okay,
it's Calvin Ridley, I think, is amazing, but he hasn't played football, which matters.
That's going to matter.
And I'm not overly convinced on Trevor Lawrence yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
See what I'm saying? So any other?
I am.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I'm convinced with Trevor Lawrence.
We got to see more. Yeah. We'll see.
But this isn't the best new.
No.
We didn't ask the best new, just the best in the league.
Yeah.
You know,
you
got
to take down Tua, Tyreek, Burrow and Jamar, Jalen and AJ, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
I didn't say the best. I said they're going to be in that top six.
Just
they're
in that the division alone, they got it. Just in that, just the division alone, it's going to be tough. You might be the third best duo in your own division, let alone the entire
National Football League. We have Hard Knocks coming up, so we're going to get lots more of these fun little highlights breakdown and let the hype train roll. Coming up, a current NBA player said Damian Lillard's trade request is bad for the league. Is the superstar point guard handling the situation the right way? That's next. Let's speak.
Now, y'all need one. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here, and I am so happy to announce my new interview series, The Joel Klatt Show Big Noon Conversations. Every Monday, we will bring you a candid conversation with the most influential voices in college football. From Colorado's Coach Prime to Coach Saban down in Tuscaloosa, we sit down and discuss all things college football. Download The Joel Klatt Show Big Noon Conversations wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to the new Joel Klatt Show YouTube channel.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Damian Lillard is still in Portland, despite all signs pointing him wanting to be in Miami. Hall of Famer Gary Payton is all for Dame leaving, saying, quote, everybody should chase a championship. While current player Austin Rivers says it's, quote, bad for the league. Rick, do you like how Damian has handled this situation?
I do, because it's completely different than those other stars. I'm somewhere in between these two. Like, I don't think chasing a championship is the be-all and the end-all, and you should, break contracts or sign a max deal, and then as soon as you can move, say, now I'm going to go to the place that I want to go. But Dame hasn't done that. Dame spent 10 years of not only staying in Portland, but saying, no, I want to win a championship in Portland. In fact, he was saying that right up into the offseason when they got the number 3 pick and had an opportunity to sign and move some guys. And he said, I want to play for a championship in Portland, but I want to play for a championship. If it's not in Portland, then I want to look someplace else. 33 years old. Hasn't made the playoffs the last 2 years after making the playoffs 8 years in a row. They got the number 3 pick. They take Scoot Henderson, who's essentially the guy who's supposed to succeed Damian Lillard. Mm. How's that helping you get closer to a championship?
Right. Mm-hmm.
He said, get me Draymond Green and Jeremy Grant in free agency. They didn't even make an attempt to get Draymond Green. They just re-signed Jeremy Grant, who they already had. So after all of that, he said, okay, clearly, you're not looking to build a championship team on my timeline. I'm 33 years old. I'd like to go someplace else. I'd like to go to Miami. This is not Ben Simmons. This is not James Harden. This isn't any other guys that have asked for trades. This is a guy who did his duty, right? And said, this is what I want. They said, nah, we'll take a pass. He said, okay, then I want to take a pass too.
He did do it all the right way. The right way, whatever you want to call it. Mm. But even if he didn't, that's what this league has always been. First of all, contracts are not blood oaths. You're not promising your firstborn child to the devil in exchange for fame and riches. They get ripped up, restructured, bought out, broken all the time.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a divorce? Like, contracts are not blood oaths. It's not that serious. The way that people talk about it, you signed a contract. All right, clearly you haven't signed many contracts in your life, because I've signed a few and they get restructured all the time. Mm. They run out, you work past them. It's not the end all be all. So this idea that you've made some everlasting commitments to an organization because you signed a contract, like, please dismiss me with it. I can't take it seriously. But beyond that, this is not new. Let's go back to Kareem. When was that?
Milwaukee.
1975. Yep. Asked for a trade out of Milwaukee. How did that work out? Like, not just for Kareem, How did that work out for the NBA, that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was playing in Los Angeles when they were able to get Magic Johnson and save the NBA? Would that have even happened if he didn't ask for a trade request?
Good point, yeah.
Let's go back before that. Will Chamberlain asked for a trade request. This has always been the NBA. So the idea that this is new or it's bad for the league is just propaganda. I understand that there are consequences to organizations and for fans, for players asking out. But please, it's not new, and it's just not that serious. It always ends up working out in the end. Just right. Chill with the drama.
Like you said, this is old. Players been doing this for years. But my thing with Dame is he's been, like, the best ideal player to stay at one franchise, give him all he has, and still want to be there. I mean, for the last, what, 4 or 5 years, we've been saying, like, get Dame out of there. And nope, he says, nope, I love this team. I'm being loyal. I want them to give me some players and win a championship. That's always been a championship. Now that he's older, right, spent 10 years there, he's made, what, $230 million from Portland? I'm happy he don't want to just milk him dry. Like, listen, before I take all this extra more money, right, I want to go play somewhere where I can win a championship. I got the money part. And then Austin Rivers was kind of like, I don't want to say comparing, but he used James Harden, he used Ben Simmons. And we all can agree that Dame Lillard is way, way different than them dudes.
Yeah.
Way different. So if he wants to give the money, he don't want to take the money, and he wants to go win a championship,
right?
Why not? Because every other player that we see that win championships, they were the team. And they blow up more their legacy. Yeah. I've been thinking about, like, how can I be a better player and be on good teams and produce in primetime television? That's when the big players are made.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
So why can't Dame go do that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, the one thing I will say, man, when it comes to the long term, and this, I do find this distasteful, that you have, like, Ben Simmons signs a max deal.
Oh,
and then a year later, he doesn't want to play for Philly.
He don't want to shoot Philly, no more.
Right? Yeah, but those are outlier situations.
That's exactly what – I like how he's handling the situation.
I love it.
Joy went back into the NBA history with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Will Chamberlain. But we take it to the present.
To the present.
Yeah. This is what the NBA is. Guys don't like where they're at. I want to leave.
Yep.
They could have traded the third pick, like you spoke of earlier, and got somebody that could have helped him win a championship in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They chose not to do it. I want out. I'm surprised the bigger Austin Rivers, like, why is it bad for the NBA? Why?
Yep.
Why is it you had all the resources in the world? Your daddy was a coach. Your daddy played in the league. What you mad about? You had every resource.
Yeah.
Like, the guys have been doing this in the NBA for as long as I can remember. I don't like my situation. I want out.
And it brings power back to the player. Because in the other sports, like football, where when they have you under a contract, you can get out. You can't. Look at the running backs now. Saquon Barkley and Josh and Jacobs can't get a contract because they don't have the power like the NBA. Where the NBA, that's how you treat me? Cool, I don't want to play no more. I look how they did Kawhi Leonard. How he got out of the Spurs, out of Santa? That was crazy. Like, yeah, ankle hurt. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I'm out. Anthony Davis, another one. He got out of there, though.
I don't want
to. And then came to LA and got a championship. So, yes, Dame, keep doing what you're doing. I don't care what Austin's talking about. I like Austin Rivers. So I ain't gonna go crazy on him. Right? But right. I love when the players, they get back some of that power. Because for so many years, it's been do whatever the owners say.
I do think it leans a little bit more responsibility on organizations. Some people would call it, you know, too much. You have to re-recruit stars. And, I mean, cry me a river, whatever. It's meet a star. We all want green M&Ms in our dressing rooms. What do you want me to tell you? That's, sometimes you got to do some maintenance. That is what it is.
Yeah.
There's benefits to having stars around. Very rarely do you come across a low-maintenance star. They demand things. They expect things. And it's because they bring a certain amount of value to your organization. So I do think in some ways it keeps the organization honest. In some ways, it can be frustrating for fans and organizations to not feel like they have a steady future as well. But I think, Rick, can you explain a little bit about what the disparity is that Austin's sort of referring to with, like, the structure of the money?
Yeah, well, I mean, because of the way the collective bargaining agreement is structured, 25%, if you meet certain criteria, all-star games, all NBA teams, you can make up to 25% of the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
I think what his issue is right now, though, is that when you're moving these big contracts or you're trying to move them, it freezes the market. So you have these teams that can't sign the lower guys like Austin Rivers. I think Patrick Beverley was complaining the same thing a year ago with LeBron holding things up, right? Or some of the other big contracts. And he was like, you know what? You're hurting all the little guys because we're not getting signed because these teams need to move the big pieces before they can sign the little pieces. And so that's essentially what it is that once a big star is wants to be moved, everybody's kind of stops.
Can I ask you this? There's more non-stars than there are big stars.
100%.
So why would they ratify this CBA when the majority aren't getting that type of money? Explain, how does this happen?
Well, I will say that part of it is that the stars, and we saw this when they got involved.
The NBA is not a democracy when it comes to that type of stuff. It's not a democracy.
We saw Chris Paul and LeBron James. We saw all the top guys, Dwayne Wade, all those guys. They became executives of the players union.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they were negotiating the deal. Now, if I'm a lower level player.
So you're basically saying they negotiated for themselves and all their buddies and not for the betterment of everyone. That's what you're saying.
It wasn't for the collective. And if you're one of those lower guys at the same time, you can't they can't afford to strike. They can't afford to miss a paycheck. They can't afford to miss a season to the level that John Wall can sit out a season. Yeah, he loses some money, but Kyrie can sit out. The lower level guy, Austin Rivers, the reason he's complaining, dude, I need to get another paycheck.
Well, I mean, I would argue whether it's fair or not. Again, I don't like the word fair, but most agreements tend to benefit the higher end of talent in any kind of
everything.
Talent negotiation.
And the owners are going to tilt it that way, too, because the stars pay the freight.
Right.
Correct. But
the star run the league, though.
They do. But
your team, your team for like advertising, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
We want to get people in the seats.
Selling
we're not going
tickets.
To the lower guy. We're going to the big guy. Yeah. Are we going to get him? Oh, bet.
Right.
Yeah. So, it runs the league. The big guys.
It's the business.
I'm okay with that. I've been a big fish my whole life. So I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying?
That was a big fish, ladies.
Yeah, I don't like to get too far into these conversations without mentioning that there's multiple ways that you can build winning organizations.
The Heat didn't have a high
freight this year. The Nuggets didn't build it that way.
Agreed.
They were both in the finals. So you can pay far above the salary cap and potentially
the
win
Warriors
that way.
Is another
or
one.
You can build within your organization and win that way. So it kind of gets a little off the rails with the idea that, okay, yes, the whole league does get held up. Yeah. To some degree, whenever a big player says that they want to move. But that doesn't last forever. And there are only certain organizations that are willing to dump everything to get those stars.
Right.
Okay. So it's really not the whole league is frozen. There are a few teams that are in that business of trying to get a big star to supplement their roster or to take them over the edge. It's not the entire league.
Let's put this in context. Austin Rivers is doing what the running backs are doing. You know what? You're affecting me, so I am going to complain about the circumstances. We're all looking out for our own.
My running backs, we're not hating. We didn't call out the quarterbacks. I didn't see Saquon Barkley say, listen, y'all paid this guy, he's above average. Where I'm top five and production-wise in any other position
Shane,
offense.
Shane.
He didn't do that.
Shane,
he didn't do that.
No. On this very show,
what's up?
You have been hating on Daniel Jones because
But did you know that Saquon? Think about this for a second though. As far as production-wise on any other team on any team, he ranks fifth. All these positions on offense, I get busy the most. I get the most offense out of any other player on offense in the NFL, and I can't get paid, but you pay Daniel Jones.
There we go.
I can say that.
Hating on the other.
I'm not playing.
I'm not saying.
But you know what it is.
But to compare.
Who would you pay first?
All right. Well,
it's not the question.
Daniel Jones,
Let's get back to the running backs.
Season tickets.
Top names at the position met over their financial concerns and why they're in this situation. We'll discuss that more next on Speak.
You know Baron that slick.
You changed the question.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel.
Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
To the NFL, Austin Eckler organized a Zoom call with some of the top running backs in the game to discuss their current financial market for their position. Nick Chubb was a part of the meeting and had a lot to say about the state of the running back position. Let's take a listen.
There's really nothing we can do. We're kind of handcuffed with the situation. We're in a position that our production hurts us the most. You know, if we go out there and run 2,000 yards with so many carries, the next year they're going to say, you know, you're probably worn down. To go out there and do good, it hurts us at the end of the day.
So, TJ, why do NFL running backs find themselves in this situation?
Who organizes them?
Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler is a big reason why. And you get to this and they say, damn, Austin Eckler, why is it me? Well, Austin Eckler was undrafted, goes to Western Colorado University. Melvin Gordon wants another contract. The Chargers say no. He holds out. Austin Eckler balls out and shows not just the Chargers, but the NFL. I can be undrafted. I can be not highly thought of. And now I'm going to be the same guy that came into the league, just won an opportunity. Now I want to get paid so much money because I'm replaceable. And I've shown that these guys that are drafted in the first round or drafted high like Melvin Gordon was can be replaceable by somebody that was undrafted. And so that's the dilemma that running backs are in. They feel like they can find a guy that can basically do what Austin Eckler did to Melvin Gordon. It's very simple, and it sucks because it's not many guys going to come in and do what Austin Eckler did.
True.
But it's happened. All these guys on that picture that we showed earlier, the majority of those guys were first-round picks outside of Eckler and J.K. Dobbins and Tony Pollard, Aaron Jones. So, I mean, Austin Eckler, he's trying to be a leader in this situation, and I'll credit him with that. He's trying to lead these running backs to, let's say, what can we do? But Nick Chubb just said it. What can we do? We are handcuffed. Unless things change, it's going to have to be a generational type run, an Adrian Peterson type dude to come into the league and change everything. If that doesn't happen, it's going to be like this at least till the CBA runs out.
I think it's a matter of, like, what backs are getting the deals done, right? Because if you see, like, the top two, top three, They're getting their money. Like Kamara, Alvin Kamara, and then you got
Christian McCaffrey.
They getting their money. They got their money. So I'll be thinking, like, well, why is it a standstill with some of the other guys, like a Saquon or a guy like Josh Jacobs? Why is that? And then you go to all the previous Super Bowls, right? Everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. That's the thing. It's a copycat league. So if you win a Super Bowl a certain way, we're going to copy that to try to win. That's what every sports, that's what they do.
Yeah.
So when I look at the Super Bowl now, it's like the last nine Super Bowls, only been 1,000-yard rusher. So when they have these arguments, these guys in this front office, these GMs, these owners, they talk about that. Well, the one Super Bowl we want to get to, it's only been 1,000-yard rusher in the last 9 years.
Right.
See, that's the bull crap, because you talked about it earlier. Why do people get paid? They get paid on production, what they did, and what they're going to do.
Right.
So for to build my office to be great, if I have a great running back that's productive, that's why we should get paid. That's what the market is. Right? We hope in our office to be better. Despite what teams is winning championships, I know we all want to do that, but we all ain't going to have them certain quarterbacks. That ain't going to happen. The last three, four quarterbacks has been Mahomes, Brady, and Stafford.
Stafford.
Those were some great quarterbacks. Every team's not going to have that.
Yeah, that's
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, because it's...
That's how they win
it. When you say it, like, okay, they haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher, but, like, look at that. And name the quarterbacks and the coaches of those teams that have won.
That's why I just said, if you're talking about all the championships, especially the last 4 or 5 years, you got Mahomes twice, you got Tom Brady.
And not only
that. And then you got Matthew Stafford, who's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Look at the quarterbacks now that's coming in a pipeline that may win a Super Bowl. So it's just going to keep,
come on. Winning.
But if you don't have, and we'll get to this a little bit later, if you don't have one of the top quarterbacks in the league, if you don't have a Tom Brady, if you don't have a Patrick Mahomes, which they're one of ones, you do need to build your roster, a particular your offense, around having a strong running
game.
Yes,
you need your running back slick.
But here's the thing. If you look at the MVP as an example, and to answer the question, I don't think it's any one thing. I think it's a combination of things. But we have had the longest stretch in NFL history of running backs not being an MVP. Adrian Peterson is the last one to win MVP.
That's not fair, Slick.
No, but over the years, every 3-4 years, you would get a running back. Why? Because you had, I think you had more teams that were building their offenses around the run.
But they weren't winning the way you want to win at the highest level.
Understood, but you are, everything is skewing toward the passing game and the quarterback getting more money and being more dominant than anything when it comes to the run game. And I think one of the other elements is we've seen guys get paid. Christian McCaffrey got paid, and then he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Zeke Elliott got paid, and then he fell off. I think that that also sent...
What about then? Nick Chubb got paid, still balling. Derrick Henry got paid.
Should I name players that get paid that don't do well in other positions? That's what I wanted to talk about. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of them, too.
But if you took the balance of the running back situations across the league and you looked at the teams that have paid top dollar for the running backs, mm-hmm. have they won? Paying that amount for that running back taken them to a special place?
But I think it depends on the team.
Sure.
As well.
Sure.
Like, nobody's talking about the Titans if Derrick Henry's not there. No one's talking about the Colts. Nobody's talking about, you can go down the line. Nobody's talking about the Giants if Saquon's not there. So I think it's a case-by-case basis, especially if you're talking about winning Super Bowls. Who has won Super Bowls as of late? The greatest to ever play the game, the next greatest to ever play the game, and then...
How about this? Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Stafford.
Hall of Fame type of quarterbacks.
So if you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you better have a run game.
That's what I'm saying.
But the percentages have pushed it to where I'm going to invest...
Even if you have a run game, and that's what you're leaning on, in today's football, you're not winning a Super Bowl.
Right.
In today's
football, that's exactly my
you're
point.
You're not winning a Super Bowl.
But if you don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback and you don't have a run game, then you're not making it through the playoffs either. So the point is, you have to have a balanced offense.
But if you don't have a Hall of Fame type of quarterback, right, or a really, really good quarterback, what's next? Got to have a good running game, or you're not even going to be there.
Okay.
Every team is not going to have them quarterbacks I just named. They're not going to have them quarterbacks, right? Like the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions, right? I don't say them winning the Super Bowl, but for them to go to the Super Bowl, they got to play good defense.
Yeah. And run the ball. That is true.
I think it also matters what division you play in as well. Like, you're not going to win in the AFC North without a running game.
All the
you're
teams
not
going to
win in the NFC North without a running
that's
game.
That's true.
All the teams that we think have a chance to win a Super Bowl, they all have a quarterback that you guys are talking about. They all have that. Right now, quarterback.
But see, I will argue that because I feel like if Joe Burrow, right, and all the weapons he has and how good he is, if they don't have Joe Mixon, I don't think they're doing as well.
No.
I'll take another one for you. The Bills, if they had a running game, I think they would be a lot better.
The Bengals
I think they won the championship by now.
You know what's crazy about the – we don't even know if they have a running game. They don't even try to run a ball. We don't know.
No. We're just saying what it has. It looks like they don't have a running game, right?
True.
Yeah, their running game is dropping.
I mean, they have 1,000-yard running back since. But if I'm going to say
–
I'm being serious, though. You can't see the Bills winning the championship if they had a better running game?
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure.
Take some of that pressure off Josh Allen? Right? The defense balls. Stephon Diggs is on ball. I think them turnovers happen when he's trying to compensate for not having a running game.
It's the position group we always bring up when we talk about what the Bills are missing.
So the running game is needed. Them running backs is needed. Owners, GMs, pay them backs.
I don't understand how you give
dividends.
A guy the ball 20-plus times.
Yeah.
And then turn around and say he's worth nothing. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I don't know that he's worth nothing as much as how much do I have to pay to keep that guy?
That's what it is right there.
Right?
Slick. Yep.
And how many years do I have to give him? Because there is the concern, and we have seen it. Like Christian McCaffrey, like you used him a ton, right? And then he got hurt, and you're still paying him, and he's unavailable. And so they're looking at it going, like, we'll pay a year. We'll pay a year or two. And running backs are used to, they're looking at the quarterbacks and what they're getting in terms of long-term deals. And they're like, wait a minute, I'm looking for 3 or 4. I'm looking for the security. Because I think on one hand, you have to know as a running back, you are running a huge risk. Like, you take a hit and you lose a quarter step, you're not the same running back.
Was Zeke Elliott the last big deal the running back had?
No, the Rams running back.
Gurley.
Todd Gurley.
in the last two big ones.
If you look at those two deals, that could be a big reason why these owners and general managers are scared. Look at how those turned out. Yeah. Look at Ty Gurley. Look at Ezekiel. And
I can name a lot of rumors that got big contracts that did
and
good.
And it's not just those guys. You can look at
Kenny Golladay.
That didn't work out.
This is the issue.
It happens.
They pay him a big money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of positions that get paid that don't do well. Like, if Daniel Jones go out here and don't play well, what they going to say? Because he barely was not playing well his whole career. Let's just keep it honest. He had one good year with Daboll, right? Okay, so let's say they pay him all this money. Let's say next year or this year, he don't look that good. Are we going to say we can't pay certain quarterbacks some money? You get what I'm saying?
They locked in.
What I'm saying is every position I can sit here and I go pinpoint a guy that got paid that didn't produce or
it
got
is,
injured.
It is a very, very weird branding thing when we talk it through with running backs because I believe they're essential to winning unless you have a Hall of Fame quarterback named Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. Or you have an offensive genius in Sean McVay. You're looking at outliers here when you're talking about not having the best running game. Yeah, because you have the greatest quarterback to ever touch the field playing for your team. Mm. That can kind of make up for not having a 1,000-yard rusher. Because you have the next greatest in Patrick Mahomes coming along with Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. So you can do some creative things there. And I would still argue that the running game, even though it wasn't the best or highly ranked, still played a pivotal role in what they were able to do.
Did this affect the position moving forward? Because these young kids hear and see this.
Oh, yeah.
They hear and see this.
Yeah,
are they going to go play different positions now?
Yeah, I believe so.
But that's what points to what I said earlier, which is what I believe will be the real thing until the CBA that actually affects this, is that until they start to see, they being the owners and GMs and teams start to see that, okay, we can't just replace this particular running back with a committee or with this guy that we drafted in the fifth round. It's actually not working out that way because there's been a correction at the college level to the talent not wanting to play that position or not leaning into it as much or being more cautious because they don't want to risk their career on that position. Then that starts to affect the game at a higher level and that swings it. But I also think when it comes to the CBA, because this position has been the only position that has gone backwards in money as the salary cap has gone up. There maybe just needs to be a concession on how running backs are paid earlier if they are drafted higher. Because if you have an outlier position like the running back and this is affecting them in an outlier way, then you have to pull that outside of this pay scale of everyone else that is drafted so that they are paid earlier to make it not fair, but you know, I don't like that word, but to make it all make sense because they are losing money and everyone else's ability to get paid is going up.
And I wonder. John Robinson is the highest paid running back in the league.
I know. That's crazy.
That's
I wonder how much this is skewed it as well, is that we see more head coaches that are what? That are offensive minded, that are offensive coordinators.
Okay.
The defensive, a defensive minded coach.
Always wants to run the ball.
Always wants to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's time of possession, right? All of that.
They dinosaurs now. Dinosaurs.
Understood. Exactly.
No more.
To my point. So you have more offensive coordinators who are becoming head coaches, who are more creative, more involved in the quarterback and how we're going to be progressive when it comes to our offense. And so as a result, they're looking more at the balance of their offense rather than defending and just running the ball. And so that's skewing how offenses are operating. And as a result, running backs don't have the same role.
Well, coming up, I've been looking forward to this block.
Ain't no Shady's out there.
The Cowboys are still waiting on a Super Bowl appearance with Dak Prescott. Is it now or never for their quarterback?
Hold your breath.
That's next on Speak.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Prescott is entering his eighth season, but he has not gotten his team past the divisional round, and he turns 30 at the end of the month. The Dallas Morning News wrote, if he does not put it together this year or next, he could be out of a starting job when his contract expires in 2025. Ooh. TJ, is it now or never for Dak Prescott?
Nah. Nah, it's not now or never. No. Like, people to my right, you know, like Dak Prescott, has he gotten the Cowboys over the hump? Absolutely not. But now or never, y'all acting like Dak Prescott is a bum. Like, he can't play the quarterback position. Like, he isn't a good player. He entered league in 2016. I say y'all, I just mean him.
He entered league in 2016. You know what?
I'm a lone wolf, and I can take this, though. I've been in some battles by myself, so I can take this.
Soldier up, bro.
So, wins, loss is a big stat for quarterbacks. It's a huge stat. Mm-hmm. Since he entered the league, he's fifth. Mm-hmm. So, who doesn't want a quarterback that wins games? Mm-hmm. And you can point to everybody, oh, the Cowboys have a good roster. The Cowboys have this. The Cowboys have a solid roster. This myth of
solid,
their roster being so loaded, I don't see that. Mm. Their offensive line is hurt every year. They never have a consistent offensive line. The running game between Zeke or Tony Pollard, Zeke is out, Tony Pollard, you just don't know what you're going to get. Now, at the receiver position, they're good. But when you trade Amari Cooper, who Dak had a connection with, that hurts them. Mm-hmm. And so, it's not now or never for me, because Dak has shown when things are right, which all quarterbacks, if you show that, he can play well. Has the Cowboys won a Super Bowl? Absolutely not. And they haven't even been to the NFL. That's okay, because it could be a lot worse. You can be at home watching the playoffs, and Dak is getting you there consistently every year.
So was it never?
No.
Okay.
It can be now. It can be now. Now, me and the president. It can be now.
If it's not now, it's never then. Like, where we going with this, Joy?
I'm gonna let you take it.
All right, I'll say this. Listen, I guess you had an argument. I guess. But, like, out of all his teams, you talked about all them winning he's did, he's never been, like, the main focal point of the winning, right? He's never been the best player on offense, right?
He's the quarterback.
I asked you a simple question. Just say no, because
no. He's a quarterback now.
Okay,
football's the ultimate team game.
I'll say this. I'm gonna answer a question. I'm gonna say never, because it'll never matter with Dak Prescott. They'll always find a way to make an excuse. I look at that.
I don't care what you say. You say they. What time you time say?
Well, I say never. Okay. I mean, because it's like nothing can go wrong with Dak Prescott. He can lead the league in interceptions. Nothing will happen. He can lead the team in pick sixes. Nothing will happen. He can be the reason why his team don't win in the playoffs. Nothing's going to happen. I think that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, they have their select few that's their favorites. I think he's in that group, right? I thought Tony Romo was in that group. Now, obviously, he got hurt, and then Dak took off. That's his football. But as far as this, will it be now or never, it doesn't really matter. Because we've seen Dak lose games with this type of team. First of all, you talked about Tony Pollard like he was his regular. Tony Pollard is like that. And then to have your backup is really Zeke, that's a great situation. CeeDee Lamb, you talk about trading Amari Cooper. I wanted to do that. I thought Amari was really good. You go out there and get your all-pro wide receiver and CeeDee Lamb that arrived. Then we go to now they just brought in Brandon Cooks, 1,000-yard receiver, solid. He could be 1A.
No, it's a clear two.
Okay, he's clear a two. He's a really he's a great two, though. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I go to the defense. Last year, he had a top-5 defense already. Now you got Michael Parsons even better this year. Then you go out there and you get you Stephon Gilmore to be your other cornerback. What else do you need? What else do you need? So you might not want to agree with the team being a really, really great team. That's a Super Bowl team. This year, last year, years to come, it doesn't matter if Dak Prescott plays good or bad. It won't matter.
I don't think Dak Prescott is a bad quarterback.
He's not a bad quarterback.
I think he's very talented. He's capable of winning a division. He's capable of winning.
Yeah, that's true.
He's capable of winning.
I don't know about the very talented
one, but he's not capable of winning.
This is right on the edge of patronizing.
Here's my question, though, because I've been a huge, despite what Cowboys Nation or whatever the Cowboys fans think, I've been a huge defender of Dak for years. I thought he should have been paid, which he obviously got paid. I thought they should have paid him before they paid Ezekiel Elliott, which is kind of why they got into the situation with Dak Prescott's contract to begin with and why they had to pay him while he was hurt. It's not that I'm not a supporter. I just see Dak.
I can
take Dak out of the Cowboys. Like, I can remove him from the Cowboys and evaluate him based off of what he has accomplished in the league comparative to other quarterbacks in his range. Kirk Cousins was 13-3 last year, right?
That's winning to me.
They won the division, had a nice season. We don't talk about Kirk Cousins capable of winning a Super Bowl. We wouldn't not do a segment on the show talking about Kirk Cousins capable of winning a Super Bowl. In fact, last year, Vikings fans were on our heads. Why are y'all not talking about us?
That's true.
And you know why? You know why? Because what happened to them?
Man, I'll just use. I'm going to use
Shea. Yo, they the same player. Yo, Dak and Cousins is the same player.
I'm going to use Shady's argument.
One black, one white.
Because the Cowboys have a better roster. That's why you talk about
Dak. Okay, but if they have a better roster, isn't that more of an indictment of Dak Prescott that he's not able to be the player that takes them over the edge? And the other part of it is, I hate it because I really do like Dak.
I
think he's great at what he does, particularly being the Cowboys quarterback, which I think is hard to do. I have watched him be the reason that they've lost in back-to-back playoff games.
Back-to-back.
So if we continuously talk, like, is he going to get better? So I don't want to say it's never, but my question is, do we evaluate Dak because he's the Cowboys quarterback the way that we do, or do we evaluate him because he's as good as the other, or that much better than other quarterbacks that are comparative to him that we don't put in the Super Bowl conversations?
I'm not going to dissect Dak. You guys have all done that. I'm going to answer the question. Is it now or never for Dak Prescott? And yes, it is now or never. And it has less to do with Dak Prescott as it has to do with the NFC and what the Dallas Cowboys have.
Yeah.
You just added Stephon Gilmore. You added Brandon Cooks, which makes up for the loss of Amari Cooper.
It doesn't do that, but it helps.
It comes close, yeah. Right? And
great duel.
The NFC is not going to be this soft as we see it this year because you have a number of teams that are perennially good teams that are not there right now. New Orleans is not what they normally are. Green Bay.
The Saints are going to be good this year.
Okay, but they haven't been. And how much of a jump they can go from what, 7-10 is a questionable.
They're not going to be Sean Payton, Drew Brees, Saints. Yeah.
Seattle, Green Bay, like those are generally powerhouses. Right now, we're talking about three teams that are competing in the NFC to win it all: Philadelphia, San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys. Yep.
It's crazy. Say San Francisco. We don't know who's going to be their quarterback.
Okay, so then just say two. It's the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. It's now. Now is the time.
How can you say that when the Niners, hold on, no matter who the quarterback is for the Niners,
they
consistently be winning games. Can we not say that? That's what they do.
I like the team that Seattle has. But I give the Cowboys as much of a chance as I give anybody outside of the Philadelphia Eagles. Exactly. Because I don't know what's happening with the 49ers.
I agree. Right. That's my point.
That's Slick's point, though.
That's my point.
And so that's why.
It's now.
Yeah. But if he.
Or if Dak Prescott, it's never.
If Dak Prescott doesn't get hurt last year, he goes 8-4. When he came back, there's no way he was. He led the league in picks.
And
played so few games
that
showed me when he came back he wasn't ready to come back. Had they implemented the same game plan that they had when he was out, when he came back, things may go different. And that just shows you, Kellen Moore calling plays, how much he believed in Dak Prescott, because the whole game plan completely changed. You're watching the same game I'm watching.
His belief in Dak cost him his job.
I'm not blaming anybody. They believe in him so much that
changed. When you pay somebody $100-something million, you got to, what do you mean? You know this. You can't pay somebody $100-something million and they can't earn none of that money.
No.
We want to run the ball 40 times a game and you're paying your quarterback $100-something million? That can't happen.
We about to see that this fall with the Giants. We going to see that right now with the Giants.
He going to be running too, though. He going to be running and throwing. Daniel Jones going to be running himself. He can't just get a ball to any running back all day and don't earn none of the $100 million.
I just think
what are we talking about?
The slander that y'all are talking like that.
What slander?
When the Cowboys don't play well, is
whose fault is
Dak
it?
Dak Prescott.
Hold on. When they lose, whose fault is it? Majority. Okay.
It depends on
my bad. Bad question. When they lost this last game to the Niners in the playoffs, whose fault was that?
This is what I'm. It was Dak didn't play well.
Hold on, man.
He didn't play well.
The goalpost is everywhere.
And I don't even know. I don't even know Dak Prescott. I don't even know him.
We don't want you to know him. We just want you to ask you, why did they lose the game?
The team didn't play well, but Dak, being a quarterback, has to play better.
Their defense didn't play well?
What? The defense played well, but the offense did not play well.
Who's the quarterback?
Who was the reason why they didn't play well?
Oh, y'all cannot put all of that on Dak.
We do that with everyone. We do that with everyone.
That's crazy.
When a quarterback plays well, they get way too much credit.
And when they play bad, they take way
too much credit. They get too much credit because that's why the quarterbacks make the most money. That's why their faces are all over all the billboards.
That's why
they sell all the jerseys.
Come on.
That's why we rank everybody. You're the most important position on the field. You get all the blame, you get all the praise.
No, what quarter did Tony Pollard go down in who you speak so highly of?
I can't remember that quarter, but I can remember
all.
I can remember all the picks, right? I can remember how the Niners couldn't move the ball at all. The only way they moved the ball is when Dak threw picks, they got great field position.
But you just spoke so highly.
I can remember how he threw two picks to the other team, which was crazy, right? This is bad, bad reads. The third pick, the guy just dropped it.
Hey, we both
played. I can remember that.
We done had some bad games. He just had a bad game at a terrible time.
But you won't say it.
What happened last year against the Niners?
I can remember that far back.
It was a quarterback draw up the middle of the field.
I remember. I mean, it didn't work, but I mean, he ain't the coach.
Shame yourself, man.
He's not the coach.
You tell me that he didn't lose that last game. Look at me in my face and tell me that.
No, he didn't lose that game. The Cowboys lost that game, not Dak Prescott. Did he play?
Yo, go to break. I'm done.
No.
We got to do some more of this tomorrow. Coming up, Steph Curry revealed his all-time starting five. Did LeBron make the team? What about Michael Jordan? I have a lot of thoughts on who didn't make the lineup next on Speak.
Wardell? Are you serious, though? Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Steph Curry listed his all-time NBA starting five recently. Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Shaq all made the cut. No LeBron. And Steph didn't put himself on the team either. Rick, what is your biggest issue with his all-time starting five?
Kobe Bryant is not a small forward. Way to dodge that bullet. You had to pick either Larry Bird or LeBron James, and he said, nah, you know what? Kobe's my dude. I'm going to put him in there. So that's my number one thing. But actually, I don't take issue with it because it's his list, right? Mm-hmm. We get into this like everybody's list has got to be the list. No, whatever your preferences are. And if he thinks that Kobe should be among the top five, that's fine. I wouldn't put Shaq, me personally. Shaq wouldn't be my number one center. I wouldn't put him ahead of Kareem. I'm not sure I would put him ahead of Hakeem Olajuwon on my list. Mm-hmm. But for Steph?
Shaq on my list.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate to see Kareem guard Shaq. Let me not go there.
Shaq could guard Shaq Kareem for the first 10 minutes.
Shaq would be
and then he'd be...
Now, what Shaq are you speaking of?
Kareem will be
on the what are you speaking of?
We are all speaking about them in their prime.
Kareem, you're going to get Kareem underneath that basket.
Kareem.
His glasses. Oh, Kareem. His mug. Oh, damn. Bang, another one. Oh, yeah, that's the D's we talking about. But I don't want to get there.
Kareem will be.
My only issue I have with the list, because like LeBron or Kobe, it's like whatever you like. They're both greats, right? I think LeBron probably should have made a list, but I'm a Kobe guy, so I get him. The only issue I have with the list is Steph Curry should be number one. I love Magic Johnson.
Oh,
but it's a new day and age.
No way.
It's a dude that's created his own wave in the NBA. Shooting trades from half court? You can't even. Come on, now it changes the game. Every time I see a game now, I be looking like, dang, they shot 40-something threes? That's Steph Curry and them boys. He changed the game. So, yes, I think that Steph Curry is the best point guard to ever play the game. He should be on that thing.
I like that Steph didn't put himself on it because that would have been more controversial. It's kind of fun. Right? It's just like a fun list. Sure.
Look at my boy.
I don't mind it. I actually like that he's shown Tim Duncan some love.
I like the humility of not putting himself there, too. How many guys would do that?
He's not going to put LeBron.
And that's for
LeBron
us.
Is his peer. Yeah. He's beaten him in finals. He's not going to put him.
You think he ain't tell Draymond? Yeah, that's cool. But look, you know I'm number one.
Of course.
You think he's a Clay? No, Steph. That's for that.
Yeah, listen, but he's not actually on the list.
We would instruct him to do that. You know,
he's going to say that to Draymond. Draymond has been the leader on that team umpteen years in assists. How are you going to be the best point guard when you don't lead your team in assists?
What era are we playing in? Because if we're playing I'm okay with Steph not putting himself on there. But if we're playing in today's game,
the handshake era,
I need Steph Curry to put himself on that team.
Well, then,
if we're playing today's game, because you need some shooting.
Okay.
You need shooting.
So
but
then,
if we're playing back in the day and you hand checking.
Yeah.
So then we're not putting Tim Duncan on this. We're not putting Shaq on this list. We're not putting Jordan on this list.
Nah, you can. Why can't Jordan?
Well, if we're talking about today's game, we're talking about shooting and
Michael Jordan
that?
Can shoot. He's just not shooting threes.
Shaq's just gonna punish.
I think Steph.
I'm just saying we're taking guys from different eras. If you're saying we're picking
what is your today's era list?
Off the top, Steph would be on my today era.
Hello.
In this decade.
Okay.
Man, but you're going to play small now. LeBron would be there too.
KD?
No, KD would be there.
Okay.
But KD can be your three. KD LeBron can be your four. Who would be my two?
Jokic.
What's that?
Jokic
probably be the five. I'm getting there
quick.
It's
a big man in Philadelphia.
See, but here's the problem now. Giannis, you're changing the whole game. Like, woof. It gets thick. It gets tough.
Yeah.
Well, can we all agree that Steph should Steph be ahead of Magic? Do we all agree?
Overall? Like, all time? Yeah,
any era.
No chance. No chance.
Why?
Because he's not even a true point guard.
He's just versatile. Dude,
let's just go.
With the ball. Come on now.
So are we just going top five players all time?
I'm just doing fun list. Honestly, my criteria for the list was a group of five that I would like to see play together.
Mm. Oh, well, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, so I just changed the rules.
Yeah, if we're going there, I want Jay Will. The white chocolate.
White chocolate.
Oh, my God. I just saw a highlight.
Sacramento Kings?
Jason
Williams?
Give me Magic. Give me Jay Will. What?
You don't like the Magic thing. He don't like the Magic.
What are you
saying? Keep saying Magic. He don't like that.
No, I like. Wait. Jay Will. What's he? He not on your list, is he?
In terms of teams, this ain't no greatest.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, no. You could just pick players.
This is some fancy from basketball. Go ahead.
Yeah, fancy basketball.
Let me know you don't talk about the greatest. I'm good on the other.
But I don't think this was his greatest, though. Was it?
All time
starting five.
I mean, what else would it be? I'm with you, though. I really appreciate that he gave Tim Duncan some love. Tim Duncan's a great player.
He's a great player.
But he gets slept on. Like, everybody passes, like, goes right by
him.
Just like they drive past San Antonio. They just, like, we just...
But wait,
Tim almost didn't happen.
He didn't say much. He was real chill.
Before we leave, can I ask this real quick? Magic and Steph, like, why y'all not giving Steph that edge? Like, what is it? Magic can't do what Steph can do.
Yeah, and Steph couldn't do what Magic could do.
I bet. But which one do you want to see more, though?
Who?
I want to see them trades. That thing be ready. No,
Magic saved the league.
Who's the dude's always,
Steph did that, too, though. I love Magic.
One of the biggest soccer stars in the world reportedly just passed on $1 billion for one season.
Couldn't be me.
Not go anywhere.
I'm walking.
More speak after
couldn't
this.
Be me.
I'm walking.
You're not taking it?
No, I'm walking to wherever they're going to give me the money.
All right, let's check in on our social life. Kylian Mbappe made soccer news today when a Saudi Pro League team offered $322 million to PSG to acquire the French star. Mbappe would have made $776 million for 1 year, but he turned it down. Giannis chimed in saying he would gladly take Mbappe's spot, tweeting, "Al Hilal, you can take me. I look like Kylian Mbappe." So Giannis is interested. Hey, I just want to be very clear about this. $776 million. Got love for you, all of you.
Well, see,
bye.
Peace.
Oh, so that lets
bye.
Us out.
Well,
I can't be bought.
We'll see y'all later.
We can't be bought.
You're not taking that.
I'm not taking that.
If someone wants my services for 1 year, $776 million, please contact my agent. Yeah. I am available.
We can't be bought.
Can we get the Saudis interested in speak?